Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 as we come to the conclusion of our study through the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. And look with me, if you would, beginning at verse 18. Paul writes, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Let's pray together. Father, today, as we look at this most important subject of prayer, Lord, would you make us people of prayer? Would you help us to understand these things in a greater way and that we might apply them after our time together? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to the conclusion of our study through the book of Ephesians, in the first three chapters, we looked at all that Paul has described for us that have been given to us in the Lord. You remember it was called the wealth of the believer, chapters 1-3. All of the spiritual blessings that you have been given, everything that pertains to life, to godliness, you have it. It's yours. It's an incredible thing to know what God has done for you. Who you are in Christ, where you are seated presently in Christ. So important to grab hold of that. And once you know of the wealth of the believer, what you have in Christ, now you are able then to walk with Christ. And Paul talked about us as Christians beginning to walk worthy of the calling with which we have been called. To follow the example of Jesus. Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." That's what it means to be a disciple. It's following the teacher. It's following the master. It's seeking to be like him. But then as you move from the wealth and the walk of the believer, we come to that final section, that area that all of us deal with, the warfare in the life of the believer. There is a spiritual battle that goes on all around us. It is invisible to the eye, and yet it is as real as anything that's visible. And we talked about last week all the pieces of the armor that we are to put on and never take off. Paul said, take it up. Put it on and wear it till you get to heaven. And then you can exchange those things for a crown when you get there. We're supplied, we're equipped, we move forward. But yet Paul ends this letter with something so extremely important that sometimes you can miss if you're not careful. And it is as great of an importance as the armor itself. And this is prayer. Prayer. Prayer supplies the energy to the believer to fight the battle, the power to use the sword. We can't fight a spiritual battle in our own power, in our own strength. And prayer puts us into communication with God. That's what prayer is, communicating with God. And that's where power and that's where strength is. And I think that's probably why for many of us, one of the greatest struggles for us in our spiritual life is in the area of prayer. Satan knows, man, there is power in prayer. When God's people, when the weakest saint calls upon the name of the Lord and cries out for God's help, man, it shakes the powers of hell. And so the devil will do everything that he possibly can to keep you from prayer. Have you ever noticed that? You can get so distracted, can't you? You sit down, okay, this is time to pray. And what happens? Immediately, wandering thoughts. You start praying for your Aunt Lois, and it makes you think about her cat. And then you think about her cat, and that reminds you need to get milk for the house. And then you realize, oh man, I forgot my checkbook to go to the grocery store. And then, oh, I forgot I got to pick up. And suddenly you started praying for Lois, and you ended up at Albertsons, and you don't know how to get back. It's all of these wandering thoughts. Or you sit down in a time of worship and prayer, and you start to intercede, and suddenly, not wandering, but wicked thoughts. Whoa, buddy, from the depths of the ocean of your old life, Satan just kind of dredges up all this garbage and heaps it upon you, brings it to the forefront of your mind, and suddenly you can't pray. You're distracted, wandering thoughts and wicked thoughts. easy to get distracted, but the battle is won through prayer. You remember in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 17, nation of Israel battling against the Amalekites. You recall that battle. And you remember Joshua went out to fight them in battle. And where did Moses go? He went up onto the mountain and he began to intercede and to pray on behalf of the people in battle. You remember his arms were lifted up. He was praying. And then when he got tired, his arms would come down and the battle would shift. And then he'd raise his arms up again. And Moses must have had guns, but he lifted his arms up again. And then he got tired and then he had to bring him back down. Finally, the people began to realize that as Moses was interceding and being effective with hands raised, that the battle was to their advantage. So you remember that Aaron and Hur went up alongside of Moses and they propped his arms up, held his arms up. And as he continued to intercede with holy hands lifted up, the battle was won on behalf of the nation of Israel. Guys, that's the same thing with us. That's where the power is. It is through prayer. We are suited and supplied with armor. Yet if we neglect prayer, we will find ourselves being defeated. We won't make time for prayer. And it fails to be a priority in our lives. And we find ourselves struggling in greater ways in the Christian life. And that's why it's a struggle. Because throughout history, we find that prayer has been the mighty power that has moved not only God, but has moved man. And it's because of this that Paul exhorts the Ephesians at the close of this letter to pray. And the first thing he points out about prayer, he says here, be consistent in prayer. He says, praying always. Be consistent in prayer. Praying to God, which accesses God's power, which accesses God's sufficiency. And Paul says, I want you to always pray, meaning on every occasion. Or another translation reads, in all seasons. Continue in prayer. Be consistent. Now, granted, you cannot stay on your knees all day long or drive down the road with eyes closed and sit in your cubicle with hands raised facing toward Jerusalem or whatever. You can't do that stuff, you know. But you can remain in communication with the Lord throughout the day. Eyes open, communicating, staying in his presence. It's not, Lord, I come into your presence, but I really just like to stay there all the time throughout the day. It's as if you never want to hang the phone up. You know what I mean? You leave it on and you always stay connected. You never hang it up. It's kind of like that with the Lord, staying in communication with him. If I omit praying and reading God's word in the morning, nothing else goes well all the day through. Have you found that to be so? Oh, what a difference prayer makes. But not only were they to be consistent in prayer, it should be a part of your Christian experience. And not just at dinner, guys. You know that dinner prayer? That breakfast prayer? God bless this meal, amen. You know, it's that one prayer. I've been trying in recent days to think more when I pray over my food because I just have this memorized rote of prayer. You know, God bless this food and bless our bodies. You know that one? You probably pray it too. Think about what you're praying. As you pray for these things, make it a consistent part of your daily Christian living. Not only are we to be consistent in prayer, but Paul encourages the believers in Ephesus to be growing in prayer. Look at what it says. With all prayer and supplication. Paul is saying there's more than just one kind of praying. There is worship, which is that spontaneous appreciation and adoration for who God is. As we pray and we worship God, that's one form of prayer. Then there is petition, bringing before the Lord the requests that you have for your own life. I seem to spend a lot of time in petition. Lord, I need this, that, and the other thing. And Lord, if you forgot about the other thing I told you about a week ago, could you do that too? Petitioning the Lord for our daily needs. But then also, there is intercession. And that is where we begin to pray for the needs of other people. And that's really where spiritual battle goes on, in praying for other people. I find it very easy to pray for me. I do it all the time. Lord, I need this. But sometimes it's harder to wrestle my thoughts, bring them together, and begin to intercede effectively on behalf of other people. A man by the name of D.L. Moody, perhaps you've heard of him, he wrote a book, a small book, called Prevailing Prayer. And he pointed out there were a series of elements to prayer, 9 to be specific. He said, first of all, prayer starts with adoration. There is that awareness of how great and how awesome God is. It's realizing who it is that I'm praying to. Do you realize that? Do you recognize who it is you're praying to? It really, if you recognize who it is you're praying to, it makes all the difference in your faith and trust in God concerning prayer. This is the God of the universe. This is the God who created everything. This is the God who holds it all together. This is the God who is not limited by anything. This is who you pray to. In addition to that, he's your Father, and he loves to bless you. Do you know who you pray to? And as you understand who he is, his holiness, his power, his greatness, man, it just, I adore you, Lord. I worship you, God. I adore you. Adoration. But he also made note that as prayer moves from adoration, oftentimes it moves into confession. Because you begin to see God for who he is, recognizing him, and suddenly you see yourself in light of who he is, and you find yourself needing to confess a few things. Well, maybe a lot of things, you know, before the Lord. It's like Isaiah. You remember in chapter 6 of Isaiah, we're getting there in our reading, he stood before the Lord, and as he was praying, he was interceding, he saw heaven open, and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he said, as he saw the Lord, adoring the Lord, I am undone. I am wicked, and I am perverse in speech. Lord, I need you to touch me. That just moved from adoration into confession. It's like Daniel, you remember, repenting on behalf of Israel as he was praying. Lord, we, your people. Lord, we've failed. Lord, we've blown it. Confession. Taking time for the Lord to shine his light upon the things that need to be confessed and dealt with. And what a blessing it is. For when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us and to forgive us. And then there is another element of prayer, that of restitution. That is a willingness to make things right. You're adoring the Lord. You're worshiping the Lord. Then the Lord shines his light upon who you are and some things that need to change. And then you begin to confess some things to the Lord. And then the Lord says, now I want you, when you get up from this place, I want you to deal with those things. I want you to make them right. I want you to tell your wife you're sorry. I want you to apologize to your kids. I want you to call your grandma and you better tell, you know, just suddenly there is this restitution. Jesus said, if you come to the altar bringing your gift and you remember you have something against your brother or your sister, you leave your gift there, you go and make it right, and then come back and worship and continue in that attitude of prayer. Restitution, another element of prayer. How about being thankful in prayer? That's really important. The Bible says that this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. Continuing with thanksgiving. How often we always are, it seems to me, maybe just my own life, I don't know if you struggle with this as well, but consistently telling the Lord what I need, but forgetting to thank him for what I already have. Boy, it really changes prayer when you begin with a list of not what I want and what I need, but what I already have, what I am grateful for, and what I'm thankful for. Suddenly, all these other things, I realize, well, maybe I don't need that because I have all of this. Being thankful in prayer, just taking time, sitting before the Lord, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. God, I thank you for this, this, and this. And you'll find your heart being lifted as you enter into his courts with thanksgiving and with praise. Also, in times of prayer, there is the element of forgiveness, forgiving other people for the ways they've wronged you. There is the element of faith that is a necessity in prayer, believing that God will answer and believing that he'll answer it according to his will. There is the petition, bringing my needs before God. And finally, there is that element of when I've done all of these things, as I pray to the Lord, there is a submission to the will of God. Lord, I've prayed all these things before you. I've laid them out before you. But Lord, whatever you want, whatever's not of you, Lord, may it not come to pass. Whatever is of you, bring it to pass. Lord, let your will be done in my life through prayer. So Paul desired that they would be consistent in prayer, that they would grow in the area of prayer. It's an area we all can grow in. But then Paul added that they would be, notice, led by the Holy Spirit in prayer. Paul says here, looking down in verse 18, praying with all supplication in the Spirit. When we pray, it should be our desire to have the Holy Spirit guide and direct our prayers. I ask the Lord that when I pray. Lord, I ask your Holy Spirit to guide and direct me as I pray. The reason? Because I don't always know what God's will is. I don't always know the mind of the Lord. Oh, but the Spirit of God does. Because the Bible tells us, you remember, in 1 Corinthians, God has revealed them to us, these deep things of God, through His Spirit? For the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And so as I pray, I want to be led by the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, guided and directed by the Spirit. I'm so thankful for that verse in Romans chapter 8 when it says, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Don't you love that? You ever come to the place in prayer where you just don't even know what to pray? You don't even know where to. There's a situation that has confronted you, and it is as intense and it is as difficult, and you don't even know, how do I even begin to pray for that? And maybe there's just a sigh in your heart, or a groan. You know, you ever prayed like that? Listen, this is glorious. The Spirit of God takes that. This is what He meant to say. This is what He was trying to communicate, Father. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. The Spirit of God helps us in our weakness. Paul added, not only were they to be consistent, to grow, to be led by the Spirit in prayer, but he adds here in verse 18 to be watchful in prayer, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. The word watchful means to be sleepless and keep awake, to be attentive, to lie sleepless. You ever had one of those all-nighters of prayer? You couldn't sleep. And you just sat there in your bed. Why am I awake? I shouldn't have ate that chocolate, whatever that was. Bing! You're just sitting there. Please let me go to sleep. Please let me go to sleep. And you look at the clock. You look at the clock. Look at the clock. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. I got to get up for work, you know. You ever had one of those nights? Hey, next time that happens, oh, blessed insomnia, here's what you do. Use it as an opportunity to pray. Lord, did you wake me up for something? Get up. Stand up, get out of your bedroom, go somewhere where it's light, and just start praying. Lord, I'm here. I'm here to listen. I'm here to pray. I'm here to hear your voice. Whatever you want to speak to me, Lord, you want to, and you know what? I guarantee you, as you wait in that moment and as you seek the Lord, God will give you things to pray about. God will reveal things to you. There might be one of those nights when God wakes you up. Might be tonight. And just take that opportunity to be watchful in prayer. You remember when Nehemiah was facing the enemy. It says in the book of Nehemiah that as the enemy was approaching, he said, we made our prayer to God and we set a watch. We prayed, but we were watchful in prayer. We were discerning. This isn't the time, is it, for God's people to fall asleep in prayer. If you look around the world today, you see what's happening in this country. You see what's happening in this state. Hey, as goes California, so goes a lot of other states. Today, as a matter of fact, we have another opportunity for you to sign this petition to fight against some of this wicked legislation. If you signed up earlier, we had these signatures earlier, it doesn't count. We need to re-sign up again so we can fight it there in November. Guys, this isn't the time to fall asleep at the wheel. We need to really be godly people and take a stand. Hey, for wicked people to prosper, all that needs to happen is for God's church to stop praying, to stop acting, to stop moving. When you see these things happening, when you see where we are headed, where we are going, does it make you desire for revival? Is there a cry from the depths of your soul that says, God, would you revive this country? God, would you do a work? Does anything shake you like that? I hope that it does. I hope that you haven't gone to that place where you just kind of, where ignorance is bliss. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to hear about it. I just want to just bury my head in the sand. I don't really, listen, that we can't do that as a church. We're here to be what? Jesus said we're called to be salt and light. Salt is the preserving influence in a decaying world. And how do we be the light, and how do we be the salt? Well, one of the ways is we pray. We get on our face in private and we cry out to God in prayer. Do you believe that that's a necessity? I know that you do. We need to be men and women of prayer. We need to petition heaven. Paul also said here in this verse, he encouraged the church to be persistent in prayer. He says here the word perseverance. Pray with perseverance. You know what that means? It means stick to it and don't quit. How many times we've been on the borderline of blessing or God working and we just backed off in prayer? Ah, it's never going to happen. Whatever, whatever. You know, I heard about a man by the name of George Mueller. Perhaps you've heard of him. He prayed for, when he got saved, he prayed for four of his friends that they would come to Christ. Three of them came to Christ. He prayed for them for 60 years, and he prayed up to the point of his death. He died, and at his funeral, one of the men that had not yet committed themselves to Christ was at his funeral, and the three men came to him and said, "Do you know that George prayed for you for 60 years, that you would come to faith?" And it was that day the man gave his life to Christ at his death. Guys, we don't know what God's going to do. Sometimes we just want him to answer immediately that moment. And boy, when God does that, we think, oh, I wish it was always like that. But have you found with most praying, it's not like that? Have you found with most praying that it ends up being down the road that you see prayers answered? But if you don't see them answered immediately, you back off, you stop praying. Some of you have unsaved loved ones that you basically said, you know what, I just can't. It just seems like it's never going to happen. Everything I say to them, they get harder, they get more intense, they don't want to see me anymore. Well, perhaps God's pressing in. Perhaps God's getting closer to converting them. That's not the time to stop. That's the time to continue, to intercede, to pour it on, to persevere, to keep on praying. You remember when Elijah was confronting all of the prophets of Baal? It hadn't rained for 3 years. And after he had executed all the prophets of Baal, you remember he went up onto that mountain and he began to pray. And it says his servant was there and he was praying and he was on his knees and he was praying and he told his servant, go look and see if there's anything in the sky. He goes back and nothing. Comes back again. Well, go check again 7 times. Persistence in prayer, perseverance. Finally, the servant comes back and says, I see a cloud the size of a man's fist. Elijah said, that's it. It's going to rain. That's a matter of time. Persistence, continuing, not quitting, not stopping prayer. Just because God doesn't answer doesn't mean, just because God said wait doesn't mean he said no. You understand? Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. Other times God says wait. I'll take yes or no. Mostly yes. But God knows best, right? So yes, if it's his will, no, if it's not its will. But wait is a hard and difficult thing for me. But we must wait and we must be persistent and persevering in prayer. What have you been praying for? What have you been seeking God about? If God hasn't told you no, then keep on praying. Don't stop praying. Don't quit praying. Be persistent in prayer. Why is it that constant, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer should be a priority to me as a Christian? Why is it so important? Well, there's a number of things I want to point out to you in the remainder of our time. A few reasons that I think will make it clear why prayer is to be essential in the life of a believer. Number one, prayer was an important part of our Lord's life here on this earth. If you read through the Gospels, the four Gospels, you will discover that prayer was a part of the daily living of Jesus Christ. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 35, it says, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. In Luke chapter 6, it says, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. The word prayer or pray is used 25 times in connection with our Lord. Jesus found it a necessity, God in the flesh, fully God yet fully man, to pray to the Father. He prayed at his baptism, and the Father spoke, and the Spirit of God descended. He prayed on the Mount of Transfiguration, and a portion of his glory was revealed. He was in prayer prior to one of the greatest messages that he ever gave, the Sermon on the Mount. The Bible tells us he prayed at the gravesite of Lazarus and raised him from the dead. He prayed in great agony in the garden that his father's will would be done. And his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. The Bible says he prayed from the cross and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Prayer was important to Jesus, and therefore it must be important and a priority in my life as well. Prayer. It shouldn't come as a surprise, should it, that the disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us how to," what? "Pray." They didn't say, "Lord, teach us how to preach. We want to." They said, "Teach us how to pray, God." And I'm sure it was from all of those occasions that they saw him praying. Notice Jesus rose early in the morning. He said, "Oh no, here it comes, brother. Hold it back now. Don't be going there. Don't go to the morning. I do the evening prayer." Yeah, me too, as I close my eyes and fall asleep. You understand? Hey, can I encourage you? The first thing you do before you talk to anybody else, talk to God. When my eyes open in the morning, barely, I lay there in my bed, and the first thing I do before I get out of my bed and my feet touch the ground, I talk to God. "Lord, I need you." I mean, just immediately, wake up. "Lord, I need you today. And then, boom, get up, do everything else that needs to be done. And when I go to bed at night, the last thing I do is I close in prayer. "Lord, thank you." You know, just praying and interceding, and then fall asleep. Resting in the Lord, of course. Important to pray. Prayer, secondly, is also a vital part, get this, of the ministry of Jesus at the present time. Did you know that? The Bible says he rose from the dead and then he ascended into heaven. And guess what he's doing there at the right hand of the Father presently? The Bible says right now that Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, is praying, interceding on behalf of us. Is that marvelous? That was his life here on earth. This is his life in glory. He is praying for us. Isn't it wonderful when someone says, "Hey, I want you to know the Lord put you on my heart. I've been praying for you." "Oh, thanks, man. I can feel it. I need it." But isn't it wonderful also to know this morning that Jesus Christ himself is praying for you? Do you suppose Jesus' prayers are answered? Yeah, they are. He's praying for you. You remember when Peter was about to be tempted and Jesus came to him and said, "Simon, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. But guess what, buddy? I pray for you. And when you have returned to your brethren, strengthen them." He's praying for you right now. Prayer is a vital part of the ministry of Jesus. He is interceding on behalf of us. Third reason why prayer ought to be important to us is because it was a vital part of the early church. Read through the book of Acts, guys. You know what you'll find? Prayer over and over and over again. One time I was doing my own personal study and I marked every time prayer was mentioned in the book of Acts. It's a number of times how important prayer was to the early church, to the body of Christ. They prayed about everything. You remember when an apostle was to be chosen instead of Judas, they prayed. When persecution came, they prayed for boldness. When people needed healing, they prayed. When they needed direction, they prayed. When Peter was in prison, the church got together and they prayed. Prayer was an important part of the early church. Fourthly, prayer is God's way for us to communicate, as we've mentioned already, our needs to him. Now, some people have asked, why should I pray if God knows all the things I need of even before I ask him? He already knows. So what's the point of communicating and talking to him in prayer? Because God wants to communicate with you. God doesn't want simply a monologue from you. He wants dialogue with you. You speaking and then you listening. Me speaking to God about these things, sharing with him my dependence, my need, and then me waiting in response to hear from him what he might say to me. Say, "God speaks to Pastor John in an audible voice?" No, I wish he did. Don't you? "John, do this today." "Yes, Lord." "John," you know, oh, it'd be great if that was the case. It's not how it happens. The Bible says that he speaks to us in a still small voice, the voice of the Spirit. And if it's a still small voice, I need to be listening. And by the way, the still small voice of the Spirit will never contradict what God's revealed in his word. "Yeah, it's funny. God told me to do this, you know, and told me to do that." "Yeah, that's interesting. I don't think God told you that, because God said something right here that's in complete contradiction to that. So I think you need to clean your ears out. You know, you didn't hear it. That's not what God said." And you always want to check it with what God said, right? But he speaks to us in a still small voice. And it's my way of communicating to God. I share with God. I pray to God. I speak to God like I would to my best friend. I don't need to get all speaking to God in Latin. I can't even speak Latin. You know what I mean? I don't have to, you know, use thous and these in King James English only because that's God only speaks King James. Aren't you glad? Lord, thou, oh, you know, I can't even do that. I can't even begin to speak like that. I wish I could, but I can't. I just speak to him normally. Also, prayer is the means that God has appointed for us to obtain mercy and grace and help in time of need. That's the vehicle whereby help and mercy and grace comes. Hebrews 4 says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you need help? Do you find on occasion you need grace or mercy? Where do you go? You go to the throne of grace through prayer. You can have access into the presence of the Lord wherever you are, in your car, at your job, at your school. Anywhere you can have access, isn't that amazing? Into the holiest of holy places, the Bible says. And there the Lord will speak, and there the Lord will listen and answer from that place. Prayer in the name of Jesus is the means whereby we as his disciples receive the fullness of joy. You ever find yourself in need of joy? Ever just need joy that is in spite of circumstance, just something to be your strength? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Jesus said in John 16, you have asked nothing in my name, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Asking and praying in Jesus' name provides a joy, a fullness of joy to us as his children. Prayer with thanksgiving is the means whereby we are freed from anxiety. Do you ever find yourself anxious, worrying, stressed out about how high are the gas prices going to go? And should I get a bike today or tomorrow? You know, a 10-speed perhaps. I'm about to pull my skateboard out, you know, and tow behind cars. But anyhow, you start worrying about these things. I'll wear a helmet. You worry about these things. You're concerned about them. What do I do when I'm anxious? The Bible says it's through prayer that I am relieved of anxiety. Philippians says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And listen, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Prayer is the means whereby you obtain peace in the midst of anxiety, where worry can be replaced with just a certainty and a confidence in God's ability to provide and to care for you in every situation. Prayer is the means whereby we obtain the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told us in Luke 11, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? You ever find yourself in need of the power of the Holy Spirit? I know that you do. I do. How do I receive that power? Guys, it's through prayer. Father, fill me with the power of the Spirit. And he does. Prayer is the means that Jesus appointed so that our hearts will not be overcome with indulgence and drunkenness and sins and the cares of this life, because the day of the Lord will come upon many unexpectedly. Jesus said in Luke 21, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare it shall come on them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Prayer is the means whereby we overcome temptation, where we're able to flee from sin. It's through prayer. Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I turn from that. Pray. Bring the Lord into it immediately and often. Finally, prayer accomplishes so much in the life of the believer. It promotes our spiritual growth. It really does. It brings power into our service and work for the Lord through prayer. It's used to bring about the conversion of other people. It brings great blessing to the church. Prayer. It is to be an essential part of your Christian life. Guys, we can't survive without it. We have access. We can communicate. We can speak to. the Lord anytime that we so desire. Can I encourage you? Jesus said, when you pray, he didn't say if, he said when. When you pray, go into your closet, he said, or a solitary place. Shut the door and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who is in secret and sees you in secret will reward you openly. There is a great reward for spending time in prayer. Going into that secret place. Do you have a place like that? I'm not telling you where mine is because you might come visit it, but there I have a place. And sometimes I have to change that place because a kid finds me and I have to move to another place. And our house isn't big, so I got to find a place, you know, where I can go, where nobody knows where I am. Where's Dad? I can hear him. Like, okay, Lord, in Jesus' name, bless, you know, and Father. But find that place. Find that place. Frequent that place. Go to that place daily. Meet with the Lord. Lord, I just want to spend some time with you in prayer. You ever found yourself, you know what I want to do? I just want to veg out. Just want to veg. People say that often, you know, I just want to veg. And we think that the way we're going to find real relaxation is just to go sit down in front of that, you know, that thing that we all have in our house, that big box and so forth. But, you know, maybe it'd be good at some point to just say, you know what, you know what I'm going to do instead? I'm going to go to a quiet place. I'm going to pray a while. I'm going to go seek the Lord right now. And you'll find the Lord blessing your times of prayer. He wants to hear from us. He desires to hear from us. He encourages us to pray. Let's do that now. Father, how we thank you this morning. Lord, that we have the privilege, that we have the opportunity to communicate with you in prayer. Lord, I thank you that you are mindful of every request, Lord, that we've ever prayed. Lord, for those today who have been praying about things for some time and have found that some of their requests have not yet been answered, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would encourage their hearts to be persistent, to keep on going, to keep praying, not to lose heart. Lord, your word says that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. And Lord, you wouldn't have said that if there weren't occasions when we lose heart. So, Father, make us a praying church. Lord, make us praying people. Bring us back to foundational principles of just loving Jesus, seeking Jesus. Lord, you said whoever calls on you, you'd answer. Lord, you said you encouraged us to call unto you. And that you would show us great and mighty things which we don't even know. Lord, it happens through prayer. Lord, help us to pray. In a moment, we're going to close in a song. And I'm going to ask you to do something. Don't worry, this isn't anything strange. I'm going to ask you to apply what we just said right now. Some of you, this may be your very last day at church because you thought, is he always going to do this? No, this is just practical application. Here's what I want you to do. In an attitude of worship, in an attitude of prayer, just for 5 minutes, guys. I just want you to turn around to the person either beside you or behind you. And very quickly, just ask them, what's one thing I can pray for you? And you can share. Just, you don't have to go into your life story. You can just say, I need prayer for this. Okay, great. And the response is, well, how can I pray for you? And they'll say, oh, could you pray for this? Sure, no problem. I'm going to ask you to do that right now. We're just going to play a little bit. And then once we complete, I'll start to pray. And that'll be the end. And we'll close in a song. Can you do that right now? Just very quietly in an attitude of worship. Pray for one another right now.
thank you, Lord, that you hear every prayer, God, every cry from the hearts of your people today. Lord, what a good thing it is to pray for one another. Lord, may we make that a habit here in the fellowship, God, to pray for each other. Thank you, Lord, that you hear us, that you'll answer according to your will. Whatever the prayers are that have gone up today, Lord, your word says they're like incense before your throne, just rising up for the throne of God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name.